and has made me blessed wherever I may be, and has enjoined on me prayer and almsgiving so long as I remain alive. This is Jesus speaking in the cradle, a miracle which is not mentioned in the Bible, but which Muslims are obliged to believe in. Among the miracles, bringing the dead back to life, healing the lepers, making the blind see, we also find in the Quran mentioned another miracle which is not mentioned in the Bible, that Jesus fashioned birds out of clay, blew on them, and they flew away, living birds. But the point which is emphasized throughout the Quran is that whenever Jesus did this, he said, by Allah's leave, by God's leave, it was clear to those around him that he was not doing it of himself, as the miracles of the earlier prophets were clear to those around them. However, in time, the reality of Jesus was distorted when the stories about him spread from Palestine to Greece and on to Rome, where there was a tradition of God being man, or being like man, in the form of man, having sons with human beings, etc., as is well known in the mythology of both Rome and Greece. So this is the picture painted in the Quran. As for the argument raised in the Bible, we find, for example, a verse in which, in Revelation 1, verse 8, in which is recorded, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." This verse is commonly held up as evidence of Jesus' divinity. However, that was according to the King James Version. In the New American Bible, which is produced by Catholics, the translation of that verse has been amended to put it in its correct context. So now we find in the New American Bible, "The Lord God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the one who is and who was, and who is to come, the Almighty." So with the correct translation, it becomes evident that this is a statement of God, and not a statement of Prophet Jesus. Another verse used, or piece of a verse used to support the divinity of Jesus is, "Jesus answered them saying, I solemnly declare it, before Abraham came to be, I am." They said, here, it's evidence. Jesus existed before Abraham. However, the concept of the pre-existence of the prophets, of man in general, exists in the Old Testament as well as in the Quran. We find, with regard to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 1, verse 4 to 5, "The word of the Lord came to me thus, before I formed you in the womb, before you were born, I dedicated you, a prophet to the nations, I appointed you." Concerning Prophet Solomon, we find in Proverbs 8, verses 22 to 26, "The Lord begot me, the firstborn of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long old, or long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first, before the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no mountains, or fountains, or springs of water, before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills I was brought forth. while as yet the earth and the fields were not made, nor the first clods of the world. We find here similar reference. Man existed in the spiritual form before the creation of the physical world. This is all that was confirmed by Prophet Jesus in that statement, which is in agreement with what exists in the Quran, as well as in the descriptions of the other prophets. One of the evidences used for the divinity also is the term Son of God. However, we find in many places in the Old Testament where God says, for example, "So you shall say to the Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Hence I tell you, let my son go, that he may serve me." We find elsewhere where Jesus says, after being asked, "Show us the Father, do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not spoken of myself." This phrase, "I am in the Father, and the Father is in me," is commonly used to support Jesus' divinity also. However, this was in John 14, verses 7 to 14. We also find in John 14, verse 20, "On that day, you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." So if Jesus' statement that I am in the Father and the Father is in me means that he is in fact God, then so were his disciples. We find, with regards to the idea of sons of God, in Job 1, verse 6, "One day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan also came among them." We also find in the New Testament, in John 20, verse 17, Jesus then said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Rather go to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." So these represent part of the evidence which may be used to claim Jesus' divinity, but which in fact does not hold up when we put it in its proper context and when we compare it to other verses in the Bible. In fact, there are many modern scholars in Christianity who hold that Jesus, in fact, was not God. There was a book written in England by a group of church biblical scholars, edited by John Hicks. It's called The Myth of God Incarnate, in which these scholars have, in detail, brought evidence from the earliest manuscripts, the apocryphal books, etc., history, to show, beyond a reasonable doubt, that Jesus was in fact not God, and that he, in fact, did not claim divinity, but that this was something which was attributed to him after he left this world. Most famous amongst those is one Right Reverend David Jenkins, the Bishop of Durham, England, a bishop of the Church of England, who openly states that Jesus was not God. The church and many of its followers don't like what he's saying, but they can't do anything about it because In England, the bishops, once they're consecrated, they are free to do and say as they please. They cannot be removed. In going to the second issue, which was the message of Jesus, it is here that we reach the most important point to be raised here tonight. The message of Jesus was submission to the will of God. As is stated in the Quran, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Religion, in the sight of God, is submission to the will of God, which in Arabic is expressed in the word Islam. In the Gospels we find in Matthew 7:21, Jesus saying, none of those who call me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Emphasis is placed here by Jesus on the will of the Father. Submission of our will to the will of God. In John 5:30, we find Jesus saying, I cannot do anything of myself. I judge as I hear. My judgment is honest, because I'm not seeking my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. This was the religion, the message of Jesus. Submission to the will of God, the one God. He came as a prophet, calling people to worship as the prophets before him. As God says in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا. We have sent to every nation a messenger. أَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. Calling them to worship Allah, one God, and to avoid the worship of false gods. So this was the essence of the message of Jesus, that only God alone deserved to be worshipped. Jesus not only called people to this message, but he demonstrated by himself bowing down in prayer and worshipping God, telling his followers to worship God. Not at any time telling his followers to worship himself. He called them to worship the one God. And this one God, as is clarified in the Quran, as nowhere else, is a God who is unique in his qualities. He does not share his attributes with any of his creation in their perfection. There is nothing like him, laysa kamithlihi shay, which means that he cannot be worshipped in his creation. One cannot bow down to an idol and claim that he or she is in fact worshipping God who is present in the idol. This is the rationale to the pagans, those who bow down to idols. When you ask them, why do you worship this idol? Something which you made with your own hands. You chipped it out, or you molded it. How can you worship? they will tell you, we are not really worshipping this idol. This is only a focal point for the presence of God. We are worshipping God who is manifest in the idol, not the physical idol itself. This is the rationale. And really, what is the difference between that and the answer of Christians when they're asked, why are you worshipping a man and Jesus? They say, we're not worshipping Jesus the man. We're worshipping God who was manifest in Jesus the man. It's the same rationale. God manifest in His creation becomes an object of worship. Though rationalized by the mind, the fact remains that the people are in fact worshipping God's creation instead of worshipping the Creator. No matter how you call it or how you explain it, the fact is, Jesus said to worship the Father, God, my Lord and your Lord, my Father and your Father, my God and your God. But today, the vast majority of Christendom pray to Jesus, claiming that He is God. So the message of worship of one God has become distorted. In time it has gone beyond even the worship of Jesus to the worship of saints. In Catholicism, Catholics have a whole list of saints who they turn to in times of need. If they lose things, they turn to Saint Jude or a variety of other saints and pray to them, asking them to help them find these things or to do things for them. If they're going on a journey, they pray to Saint Christopher. Only, about 10 years ago, the Catholic Church decided to cross Saint Christopher off the list. Because, after a historical research into the origin of Saint Christopher, it was established beyond a reasonable doubt that Saint Christopher was a fictitious individual. So he was crossed off the list of saints. Unfortunately, there are many Christians around the world, Catholics, who don't even know that. And they're still praying to Saint Christopher. This act of praying to Saint Christopher and to other saints is contrary to the act of worshipping God alone. It destroys it. Worship should not be shared with God in any way, shape, or form. This was the message of Jesus and all the prophets before Him and the last of the prophets. May God's peace and blessings be on all of them. Worship should not be shared in any way with God. So if you find a Muslim or a person who calls himself a Muslim praying to somebody who he calls a saint, that person, though he calls himself a Muslim, has stepped out of the bounds of Islam. Because Islam is not just merely a belief, wherein one says, I believe that there is no God but Allah, and that Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him, was the last of the messengers. True, this is the declaration of faith, which allows one to enter the door of Islam. But there are many things which, if done, contradict this declaration of faith and cause one to go back out as soon as they came in. One of those things is to direct worship to other than God. This is why Muslims do not accept to be called Mohammedan, as Christians are called, or followers of Christ are called Christians, and followers of Buddha are called Buddhists. Because Mohammedan implies that Muslims worship Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, which is not the case at all. Instead, the name is Muslim. Muslim means one who submits to the will of God. control. That is central message. As I stated, is that man should worship God alone. Not inside of his creation in any way. God is beyond his creation. He's not surrounded, enclosed by his creation. He's not a spirit. He cannot be painted or carved. No images can be made of him. He is beyond man's comprehension. We worship him through his attributes, which he has revealed to us, in that he is all merciful, he accepts repentance, he is just, etc. We worship him through these attributes. Christians ask, well, don't you make a picture? Don't you have a picture in your mind when you worship God? How can you worship God without this picture? The point is, once a man makes a picture in his mind of God, he is in fact making God like his creation. Because our minds can only picture the things which we have seen. And God cannot be seen in his life. The other aspect of Prophet Jesus' message was his sunnah, his way. There's a common quote from the Bible wherein people like to say that Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except by me. I am the way. This is evidence. They claim that Jesus is God. But that's not the case. This is not what Jesus was talking about, if these words are to be held true. What this means is that one cannot worship God except by the way which has been defined by the prophets of God. Jesus emphasized to his disciples, his followers, that they could only worship God by the way which he had taught them. Similarly, we find in the statements of the last of the prophets, Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be on him, where he has said very clearly, مَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَأَمَّرْتُكُمْ بِهِ. I have left nothing which will bring you closer to God, except that I have commanded you to do it. He has pointed the way, and his way is the only way, as was the way of the prophets before him. As such, he said, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدٌّ. Whoever adds anything new to the religion of Islam, starts to make their own way of worshipping God, it is not acceptable to God. So the way of the Prophet is the only way to God. So what remains is for us to look at the way of Prophet Jesus. We find, as is recorded in the New Testament, that Jesus was circumcised. He was a Jew, and he was circumcised. This was a part of his way. But today we find Christians, for the most part, not getting circumcised because of a rationale introduced by Paul, wherein he said that circumcision was circumcision of the heart. It was his interpretation. But Jesus was not circumcised by the heart, and he didn't say anything about circumcision of the heart. He was circumcised. In fact. So if one is to follow the way of Jesus, one must be circumcised. And we see that the people around the world who insist on circumcision are those who call themselves to be Muslims. So we can say that they are following the way of Jesus. Furthermore, Jesus did not eat pork. He was a Jew, and he did not eat pork. He came, as he said, to fulfill the law, to uphold it, not to break it. So he didn't eat pork. But unfortunately, most people who call themselves Christians today, they not only eat it, they raise it, they love it, they have pictures of it, they praise it, they make cartoons about it. You know, the pig is endeared. Porky pig. So, we can say without a doubt that those who call themselves to be Christians, followers of Christ, are not in fact following Christ. And we find that the people who insist on not eating pork are those who call themselves Muslims. They are in fact following the way of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, we find in Matthew 26, verse 39, when Jesus went up into the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, and going a little farther, he fell on his face and prayed. He fell on his face and prayed. When we look around the Christian world, we find Christians kneeling down, holding their hands up, in a posture which cannot be ascribed to Jesus. And the only people that we find consistently in their prayer, falling down on their faces in prayer, are those who call themselves Muslims. So again, we can say, without a doubt, that the way of Prophet Jesus is not being followed by Christendom, but is in fact being followed by those who call themselves Muslims, those who submit to the will of God. And this falling down on the face in prayer is not something which Jesus brought, was new. It is something which can be found as a part of the practice of the earlier prophet. Prophet Abraham in Genesis 17 verse 3 falls down on his face and prays. Moses and Aaron in Numbers 20 verse 6 as well as Numbers 16 verse 22 fall on their faces in prayer. Elijah in 1 Kings 18 verse 42 falls on his face and prays. In Joshua 5 verse 14 and Joshua 7 verse 6 falls on his face in prayer. This is the way of the prophets. As God has said in the Quran, very clearly, whoever obeys the prophet has obeyed God. And it is only by that way that those who claim to follow Jesus will gain the salvation which he brought in the message of all the prophets before him. And that is the last of the prophets. May God's peace and blessings be on all of them. So, what we can say in conclusion is that Jesus was a prophet of God, without a doubt. And his message was that of Islam. Submission to the will of God. Read the final revelation, the Quran. Read it so that you may judge for yourself what was the message of Jesus, and in that way you may gain the salvation which I'm sure each and every one of us seeks in this life. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.